Welcome to the Empathetic Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hammond, and today I have Anne Boyd from Stoplight. Anne, it's really nice to have you on.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Brad.
Absolutely. I'm really excited. So tell me a bit about yourself and about your company.
Sure. So I run marketing, chief marketing officer at Stoplight. We are a company that is dedicated to providing API tools for developers and folks that are looking to run very high quality and strategic API programs. We offer both self-serve and direct models. So it's a hybrid product-led growth opportunity for marketing. And we have customers that range from independent developers and startup founders all the way to tech leaders at some of the largest global brands.
Let's talk about marketing in this space. You know, obviously there's a lot of changes going on within marketing. There's the economy, there's budgets, there's all sorts of stuff to think about as a marketer. But what does marketing in this space look like? And what's a bit of your strategy as we head into the last part of this year, going to next year?
Yeah, we have a very content marketing focused approach. So we have continued to develop content in as much volume as we can efficiently and effectively and in high quality. Really, all along, our approach has been to pursue organic distribution as best as possible. Of course, we then boost things with social paid opportunities. And then we do some email marketing and some in-product, but definitely had to look at what are the most effective means for us and hone in on those and make some choices about what might have to wait. Some of the more expensive high production value things might get postponed, or an event or expensive swag or something. But mostly really keeping that volume of content going, and also importantly, making sure that it's relevant to what buyers need now. And I think that the shift in the economy gave us an opportunity to talk about how to do more with less, for example, as it relates to your technology strategy. And so we looked for those opportunities to find stories that were going to resonate with the audience that is out there now looking to buy or making hard decisions of what to eliminate, which was in some cases, you know, you got to come in and show your value of why they should keep you versus someone else. And that's a real challenge at this time, but something to be prepared for as a marketing team.
Absolutely. As you think about marketing, those activities, almost we put everything on a matrix of cost and effectiveness. What's been very like in a good position on that matrix in terms of not being breaking the budget and also being super effective? Are there any things that stand out that have kind of checked all the boxes there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in general, our social content is extremely valuable. But one of the things that's a standout in terms of creating content that then proves to be exceptionally valuable across all different channels is actually the podcast. We have a podcast that we've developed for influencers in our community, which API development is a little bit of a niche, but it appeals pretty broadly. And we've had guests from PayPal and Ford, and then more of the folks that are really deep into our industry, like 42 Crunch. And the ability to have those guests who care deeply about this subject matter and share their thoughts, we are able to get not only the value of their commentary during the interview, but we basically package all that content up in a variety of different ways and get it out into all the channels we possibly can. So we use social, we'll create short form, long form. In some cases, we've created like ebook. We've done just about everything we can with the content. And of course, the beauty of it is that you're getting that halo effect of the guest then sharing or the guest's company sharing and their network. So it's this network effect, and that has been extremely valuable. And I will say, like, even by the numbers, it consistently performs highest in terms of engagement. And even when we promote as a paid asset, it will perform very well.
That's awesome. You have a pretty small team. How do you decide like what to focus on, what to maybe outsource, you know, what to maybe not focus on? How does that decision tree work and all that?
Yeah, we do have a small team of an incredible team of such hardworking people, really creative, and we're a little scrappy, right? Like we have had vendors that have been able to help us out in certain cases, like to produce a nice brand video piece or maybe developing some of the sales resources. But we, in general, try and do everything in-house. And we did have to learn that we had to set our expectations, right? Like I originally had a very ambitious plan for how much content we would be able to produce in a year, and that changed. And then we said, okay, look, we want to keep it at a certain quality. We need to be able to just set realistic expectations. Okay, it might be one major piece a quarter, and then the smaller things are, you know, kind of ongoing. We do work with a very helpful, like as consultant vendor in the API space. Adam Duvander is part of Every Developer, who's like been in this space forever. He helps us source and curate great content that's relevant to folks in the industry. So that is one of the kind of, you know, consistent relationships that we have to ensure that we can get the volume that we need to cover the breadth of topics we need to cover.
So what does the marketing relationship look like with the SDR BDR team? Is that within marketing? Is it outside of marketing? If it's outside, what does that interaction look like?
Yeah, that's a great question because I know it can live in a lot of different places in an organization. So actually, originally, I was first marketing hire, but I also sort of inherited sales at first too. So we were sort of all one group, which was a really cool experience because I got to see how we could really coordinate and deliver from a marketing perspective what was really needed on the sales side. And so technically the sales development representatives, which right now we have two, one out on maternity leave, but they are part of the sales team. So they report to the VP of sales. However, with my visibility into that role, I was able to really see what kinds of basic assets they needed and the scripts and the send-along materials. And so I think it was a really helpful experience to, and also to understand their cadence. We do, from a marketing perspective, we enable them with email through HubSpot. So we have a lot of overlap there. We have a lot of inbound. So there's a lot of weeding through that they do. And then really a partnership. If there's someone that needs to be elevated, a really big account opportunity that we can drive some ABM around, account-based marketing, we'll do that. And we just stay really in close contact. And it's a great situation.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Let's talk more about your podcast. So it sounds like this is a big driver of growth for you guys. And how'd the company get into doing a podcast? So what was that like? And then what has the journey been like?
Actually, I really want to give credit to our original VP of Growth who had envisioned a podcast. And so when I came in, there was a fledgling proposal. And right before I started, I said, okay, let's give it a go. Right. And so I came on and we were in the throes of development. And the concept for it, I think, was really because there was a keen understanding that this is a developing market. APIs, sure, they've been around for a while, but the heightened emphasis on them as companies, you know, whether they're decentralizing their monolithic technology stack or pursuing a very open, composable business strategy moving forward, they are in need of help in this area. And so there's a lot of people looking for information. And there was a bit of a gap. I mean, certainly there's some wonderful players in the space that cover details of the API industry and technology. We knew there was a little bit more room, and we wanted to have a voice in that. And we also knew as it was developing, and we had really a CTO who had come on who had been in the space for a long time and had had that experience of kind of feeling his way through the industry and feeling his way and sharing that insight with his colleagues and really having a lot of wonderful, productive discussions and felt like organically this would be super valuable to me. And I would have wanted this when I was in that position. So it came from a really organic place where it wasn't like we were in marketing going, hey, you know, we've got to do this. It may, you know, we need the content. Hey, you're going to be our expert and like go do these interviews. It was very much a collaboration between our technology team and us to make it happen.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And now that it's really been clipping along, you've had a lot of success, you have a lot of episodes that have come out. What does the process look like for producing it, from the planning and the guests and the editing and all that stuff? Have you found a really good cadence for that and kind of have systems down and everything?
Yeah, we do. I mean, one of the most amazing folks we brought onto our team recently, and it's a small team again, but we got a video producer who also, you know, pretty capable across multimedia. So we were able to, with my corporate marketing lead and communications, she was able to oversee the effort. So we ended up taking it on from a vendor who originally helped us out, which was a fantastic way to start, to get things going and to learn the ropes. Ultimately, you know, because I think of the really natural process of recruiting speakers and just the interest in the industry, and we had no lack of like subject matter, so it didn't take a whole lot. Like, we didn't need them pitching to get us people. We didn't really need a lot of the other elements, especially since we have all of our promotion and creative design happening in-house. So we were able to take that on week to week. We try and get one out every 2 weeks, and we have some stored up. So we'll basically work around scheduling when people are available, and then put it into a plan, a programming plan, so that we have things, you know, staged out for a while. And then, you know, there's an editing process that can be challenging at times. You know, someone new to the industry who's trying to, you know, decipher what an expert is sort of, you know, going on about, but honestly, it has worked really well. And we've been able to, you know, keep that growing and without having it take over our whole department, which is great.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And you produce content from these podcasts, and you mentioned like a little bit of paid spend and organic and all that. What does that promotion aspect of the podcast look like for you, and content in other places, maybe like LinkedIn and all that?
We promote our content across primarily LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Oh, and YouTube, right? So there's a video asset of the interview that will be housed in long form on YouTube. We'll have the audio assets that's promoted out to various podcast distributors. And then we take stills or create imagery to represent some, you know, important part of it, video clips, and try and create fun assets that are short form consumption in social media. And then we usually, the way our paid promotion strategy typically works is that we're putting our organic content out there that's based on our campaign themes planned out for the year in terms of our, you know, aligning with our business goals. And then we take a look at what's performing well. And so then we boost what's performing well. So we don't necessarily set out with an agenda to like, we're going to make the podcast, you know, number one or whatever. It's really more about what's performing well and what's resonating. And so, you know, that's what's happened. And it's been able to secure a lot of our budget in that way.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Let's wrap up with the future. So is there anything you're exploring, platforms, strategies, as we head into next year, or dipping your toe in the water that you're excited about in terms of, you know, marketing and generating demand and all that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it would be remiss if I didn't mention TikTok, because as a marketer, I can't feel like it's unavoidable now. I mean, just, you know, seeing the movement, we kind of skipped the Instagram wave because we didn't really do that. We have that on our radar. We also, because our audience is a lot of developers, we're really looking to expand our presence in communities where they are active. We have our community for the product on Discord, but we're also looking at how we can interact more effectively Reddit. A lot of that's a partnership with Developer Relations, which is another partnership with our product team, but really provides a great opportunity to get our message out there in a very organic and relatable way. But TikTok, I think, will be interesting. We have played around with, we have a character, Desi, and they are the little robot. And we've really played with animation of that character and making that more a fun part of our experience. So that'll be something I think we'll take on in the next year, in addition to overhauling the website, which will be a big, just, you know, got to get it done.
Absolutely. Well, it's been awesome to have you on, and I really appreciate you sharing all your wisdom and insights here. And it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.